What's going on, fantasy football world? I'm Ed.
Well, I'm Michael, or Mike.
Who are you today?
It's been one of those weeks. Let's just...
That's all right. Well, thanks for joining us. We're talking about some fantasy football today. We have week five ahead of us. Week four is in the books. Some things have happened.
Some things haven't.
Some teams are full tilt. They're jumping off the cliff.
Doing some trades.
So lots of trades.
Advantage. I don't know.
Lots of taking advantage of-ness. So Mike brought us some beers.
I did.
Grains of Hope. Now, this is a Two Toms Brewing beer. It's an Imperial Red India Pale Ale.
Yep.
8.7. Jeez.
I needed to screw you up tonight, dude.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's good, though. I mean, Two Toms puts out really good stuff. And
It is good.
It is good. I'm not a red, really, too much, unless it's a Killian's off tap. But I went with it. I tried a little sample. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take it.
Mike's a bit of a beer snob, if you guys have not been able to tell.
I like a good beer. I don't want a beer. I can go and get me a Busch Light, or I can go and get me a really nice IPA. I'd rather have an IPA. Like we said in the earlier thing, I'm quality over quantity, to be honest.
I usually am too, but I guess for me it depends on the occasion. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So, week four, lots of things happened. We got confirmation on a lot of things in week four. You know, there's some blowouts. My beloved Steelers got stomped 6-30. And, you know, and I'm just going to start there because there's a lot of fantasy implications around the Steelers. And particularly, not necessarily on the offensive side of the ball, but more so the opposing teams' fantasy players. And so, usually, what I have seen in the recent weeks is, you know, we're just the highlight reel. You know, we're the team recently that you see on Sports Center Top 10, but it's not, you're not on the good side of that video.
You're the guy getting dunked on.
I am. We are the guys getting dunked on. And, you know, 2-2, it is what it is. We could have a worse record, but there are some serious issues with this team, and I'm going to tell you that you can have all the talent in the world, and the Steelers are a great example. You can have all the talent in the world because, you know, I don't know. I know it's a little bit subjective, but Najee's incredibly talented. George Pickens is incredibly talented. Regardless of what anyone says, Kenny Pickett has the ability to be incredibly talented. He's shown that. Deontay Johnson's incredibly talented. So is Pat Freiermuth. So why aren't the pieces clicking? And when you see teams like this around the league, for example, the Steelers, it always points back to one of two things, the coaching or the play calling offensive coordinator. And it's Matt Canada. I'm telling you, this guy is not built for the NFL. Similar to what's happening with the Bears. I mean,
those guys took a nosedive from what people were expecting, man.
Well, last week, Justin Fields did show a glimmer of hope. I mean, there were some things that the Bears did last week that I think everyone's been waiting for. Cole Kmet showed up, like the Cole Kmet that we have seen possible.
Yeah.
Justin Fields had a tremendous day, particularly from a fantasy standpoint. Yeah.
Four touchdowns, man.
Yeah.
That's a fantasy day and a real day.
They almost won that game. Now
they should have. 28-point deficit wiped away.
But it's a good example that sometimes you have to look past what you see on the field. Sometimes you have to just put your business hat on and say, okay, at the end of the day, these are football players that are going out receiving orders and direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not the ones saying, well, I'm going to run left, I'm going to run right. They're taking the orders and directions. Now, depending on the pecking order, depending on, you know, if you're a veteran or, you know, if you're a Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, towards the later parts of their career, you know, you could go to line and completely do what you want. You've earned that respect. But not for people like Najee, not for people like Kenny Pickett. They're going out and doing what they're told. Now, of course, audibles and adjustments are always a thing, but a lot of these teams are at the mercy of the people calling the plays. So sometimes it's the system. It's not the player. And, you know, we've, but on the other side of the ball, we've also had confirmation on some things. And so week four was, for me, it was really interesting. I am really curious about what's going to happen with particularly two players in week five. The practice window has been officially open for Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor.
Let's go.
Jonathan Taylor did a walkthrough today, Wednesday. So we're recording this on Wednesday, October 4th. So he had a walkthrough today with the Colts. And, you know, the Colts didn't have a full-on practice today.
No, not many teams actually had a full practice today. A lot of Wednesdays are walkthroughs.
So Jonathan Taylor did that walkthrough. And for me, because, of course, it's closed off to the media, but to me, that tells me he's playing. I mean, that tells me that why would you show up to the team? Why would, in the first day available to you, and do that walkthrough? Well, that's a level of, I guess, Jonathan Taylor meeting them halfway here, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think Jonathan Taylor is going to play. And if you're holding Zach Moss, this is going to be a really interesting situation because now Zach Moss's stock has plummeted. Your only option at this point is probably to hold. I mean, you could trade, but you're not going to probably get much from a Zach Moss right now just because of the whole Jonathan Taylor situation.
Here's the deal with that. And if the Colts and Jonathan Taylor are going to go to one of two ways in my head, either he's going to stay or he's going to play for 2 weeks and be gone. He's going to get traded before the trade deadline. I don't know how realistic that is at this point. And the players that are,
especially the price. I mean, I know. Can anyone stay? Is Jim Irsay still stuck on that? Number one. And number two, are there any teams that still need a running back that can't afford that? The Dolphins obviously don't need a running back anymore.
They really don't. Again, that's why they said from the get-go that Jonathan Taylor was a luxury. He wasn't something that they had to have. He was a luxury. And the other players, you know, you got the Packers. I mean, what really are the Packers going to accomplish this year with Love at the helm? I'm not sure that
you know, Love has shown he can take this team.
But I'm not sure that the team's going to get to the promised land this year with or without JT. So I don't know. I don't think that the Packers are going to be the buying team at this point. I would bet that either he plays for the Colts or he plays for no one this year. And that's just off of my thoughts. And honestly, I don't care whether he plays for us this year or whether he doesn't. It does not hurt my feelings either way. If he doesn't, then we still own one more year of him. That's fine. And then, you know, whether or not he wants to be traded or whatever else, maybe he loses his agent and maybe he, you know, finds Jesus. I don't know. And then he comes back to the Colts with his tail in hand, tucked a little bit, and goes, "Hey, Jim, Mr. Irsay,
we know that.
Can we work this out? Because you know what? I've seen AR5 play. I want to play with him. I want to protect him. Your guys' offensive line has been better. I forgive you. Can you forgive me?" That's literally how it's going to have to happen. Otherwise, he will never play. He'll be the next Le'Veon Bell. If he does not get traded this year, Le'Veon Bell comes into the picture. I'm telling you. Like, he's going to not get far. He has very got possibly so much freaking talent, dude.
Well, the problem is, if he doesn't play this year, he's not going to get the contract he's wanting. So
no, he's going to have to wait another year.
How are you going to show teams what your value and worth is? Jonathan Taylor right now has no option but to play football. Because if he does not play football,
then he's Le'Veon Bell.
He's not going to get the contract he's looking for. But imagine a world where Jonathan Taylor comes back, plays for the Colts this year, completely blows it out of the water. Now he's holding the cards. And now the Colts are in a situation where they have to pay the guy. And maybe that's what they want. From a business standpoint, why wouldn't you want to exhaust the year you have available to you to test someone's capability coming off of an injury? I mean, it's a natural decision. That's not
that an injury that really spanned like the 2 years.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is not an absurd request, which is why, to me, it kind of irks me to see running backs in this situation say, I'm going to hold out. I mean, come on. We're talking about billionaires and their money. That you, I mean, we're fooling ourselves if we don't think they're going to make the best decision for their money, the return of their investment, of their millions of dollars. And an injury risk is going to affect their return of their investment in Jonathan Taylor. And so it's a natural progression from a business standpoint. Whatever agent's telling him, hey, hold out, the guy's obviously, I mean, you know, I'm not an agent. I'm not a pro at this. But to me, it makes logical sense to not do that, especially if you can play. Now, if you can't play physically and if you're injured, okay, right. Sit out because you're going to do more harm than good from a brand perspective and a physicality perspective, right? Yeah. So anyway, week five, we have, you know, a lot of trades, a lot of changes that are going on in week five. Teams right now, I'm seeing more trade requests than I've ever seen. And I think the general landscape in fantasy football is a depletion of available running backs. I mean, there's just not, the running backs are not there this year. And some teams, like yours truly.
And I've got a plethora of running backs in another league.
I'm pretty much holding just about every viable running back, except for a Christian McCaffrey, because I did not get the 101. But this is why really being in tune with trends, knowing, you know, statistics, really diving into this podcast that I heard about called Dad's Talk Fantasy Football. I mean, you know,
what's it called again, Ned?
Something about Dad's Talking Fantasy Football. I don't know, but
I hear it sounds fun.
It sounds great.
They must drink beer.
They do drink beer. They have to drink beer. But I think it's really, I mean, this is it, guys. If you did not get in on the Kyren Williams, on the Devon Achane sweepstakes, you missed out. On the Puka Nacua sweepstakes. I mean, you missed out, right? I mean, Mike called it. I called it. I mean, it's not, sometimes it's not as obvious as we all want. And I'm going to tell you this. All of the rankings that you see on ESPN, on NFL,
CBS,
Yahoo. Listen, guys, these are all aggregates. They're all averages. I mean, what they do is they take numbers throughout the year and they compile them and they adjust them perhaps a little bit and tweak them based on strength of schedule, and they post them and they rank them. That doesn't tell the full story, because there's a story behind those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
There is. And a lot of times, you got to start looking outside the box, right? I mean, so for example, a Jameel McLaughlin. This is a name that's being brought up right now. I mean, he's the running back for the Broncos. Right now,
he is being highly touted.
Very, very highly touted. He might, I don't know if he's technically still third string. I mean, I think he's third on the depth chart, because you have Javonte Williams, you have Samaje Perine, and then you have guys like Jaleel McLaughlin, who, you know, right now is possibly the best running back waiver wire pickup this last week. A Jaleel McLaughlin, who's a running back for the Broncos. Right now, I think he's probably listed as third on the depth chart behind Samaje Perine and Javonte Williams. I mean, I know someone that spent a quarter of their fab budget on him, on McLaughlin. Is he going to be the guy?
I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews, though, to be honest, Ed. 25% might be terrible, or it might be a good steal. I've heard that, you know, anything from between Jaleel McLaughlin is going to be the new bell cow for them. because Javonte's not picking up any sort of a great running load, and he's not producing. So that's kind of where this Jahlil guy comes in at. And so he has the ability to be a number two fantasy running back really in all the leagues that I know of this week and maybe beyond. So 25% of your fab might not be bad. I know a guy in my other
league. Might not be bad?
No, it might not.
There is no way. I'm sorry. There is no way I'm spending that amount of money on a Jahlil McLaughlin.
So you're telling McLaughlin. Me if you if
a, now if my running back situation is that dire, I mean you have to be pretty bad to spend 25% of your fab budget on.
Who else are you going to spend it on?
No one this week.
Well, yeah, but can you imagine any other running back going down and someone else stepping up and being a bell cow?
Well, I think you have to assess the possibility versus reality. Is it a possibility that Jahlil McLaughlin steps up and takes over as the bell cow? It's always a possibility. Yeah. I mean, it's a possibility Le'Veon Bell comes back and is the number one running back in the league. Is it realistic? Probably not. I mean, Javonte Williams, not long ago, we were just talking about how big of a season he was going to have just a few weeks ago.
But I'm telling you.
Jahlil McLaughlin, if he's the guy, okay, let's say he is the guy. Let's say
what's the Broncos done though?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, let's say Jahlil McLaughlin is the RB1. I mean,
but maybe he's guys, the key to Narnia.
We're talking about that's it. It's Jahlil. We've been looking for you.
You know how we went over with Sean McVay saying that the offense is going to run through Cam Akers when he actually meant
that's what he means.
Yeah,
it's Jahlil.
Jahlil is the guy, dude.
So hey, I mean, come on. We're talking 1 week, and again, he could be the guy, but just know this. This 1 week was built off of 7 rushing attempts, 72 yards. He did catch 3 passes for 32 yards.
And a
touchdown, yeah. Okay? And I think if I see any value from a Jahlil, it's going to be on the passing game. If and when Javonte Williams decides to play football, it could challenge whatever preconceived notions you're having about Jahlil McLaughlin, but it's also the Broncos. I mean, look at what the Broncos are doing. Nothing. I want to bet on offenses that I believe in. I mean, I'd rather have, give me the third string running back off the Dolphins over him.
Oh, Jeff Wilson?
Who's the third
string? Jeff Wilson.
Jeff Wilson's not even playing yet.
He's back from injury.
Is he back from injury?
Or are you talking about Salvan Ahmed?
Ahmed. That's okay. Who I'm talking about. I mean, I'd rather take an Ahmed over him. And Ahmed didn't even score 1 point in the Denver game. I don't know if he played.
Come on. I don't know if he played. Don't be that blind. You're not going to take Ahmed over freaking Jahlil McLaughlin.
I probably won't. Well, a starter for 1 week. I probably won't.
Or maybe more. If he maybe comes out more. And balls out, do you think they're going to go, oh, you know what? Javonte's in. No, we don't need you. Hell no. Dude.
Well, if McLaughlin balls out, then it is what it is. I mean, you're taking a bet.
Against the Jets? That would be a ball out, dude.
You're taking a bet on him. And sometimes, listen, you have to do that. Yeah. All I'm saying is I just wouldn't put up that kind of money for a Jahlil, right? Could he be? Absolutely. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's 100% possible. It's in the cards. I've seen crazier things happen.
So what I heard is saying, you just saying that 100% he's going to come out and ball out. Is that what?
I said it's 100% possible. It is 100% a certainty that it could happen, right? So, I'm not taking a bet on it because it's the Broncos offense. If you need a running back that desperately, okay, I get it. Go after the guy. Take your shot, right?
A guy in my other league is thinking about 60% of his fab.
For Jahlil?
For Jahlil.
I mean, and here's why. I'll tell you why. Because you have a Jerome Ford, you have a Devon Achane, you have a Kyren Williams.
A Puka Nacua.
These guys came from nowhere. Well, unless you listen to Talk Fantasy Podcast. But these guys came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to hedge their bet on the next candidate that's going to blow up, right? Because they missed the boat.
Yeah.
They didn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, they should listen.
So, you know, I think that's part of it is the buzz and the excitement to get the next big thing. These players that have already blown up, they could be league winners already. But then again, there could also be other candidates breaking
again,
out.
We've already went over Fab and you know, both of ours kind of thoughts on it. And we're getting to the point in the year that if you plan on spending a ton of Fab late to make the playoffs, you missed a boat. If you're going to spend a lot of Fab to make the playoffs, you've got to do it before week five.
Yeah.
Before week six, something like that, because you need to have enough runway. If you're starting 0-5, you better make a move.
Right. You have to start making moves. Now, you know, there's typically how many weeks to the regular fantasy football season? There's
usually
like
15.
15 weeks, depending 16, on your league.
17 and then 18, or you've got, actually it's 14, because then you got 15, 16, 17, sorry.
Depending on your league size and your structure. So right now we're entering week five, so you have approximately 10 more weeks of the season. Yeah.
You're a third of the way through.
You're one third of the way through. Now, if you are 0-4, and if the top, let's say hypothetically, the top four teams in your league make the playoffs, I would venture to say that the fourth ranked team is going to be either, you know, 3-1 or 2-2. Yeah, probably more likely 2-2.
The worst they're going to be is 2-2.
Right. So if you're 0-4 and the playoff team that's in that number four spot's 2-2, you're only two games behind. Like, don't jump off the cliff yet.
But here's the thing, Ed. You're two games behind, but why are you two games behind? Is it because you drafted Jonathan Taylor and he hasn't even started playing yet?
Or is it because you drafted...
You have some options.
Exactly.
Or you have Cooper Kupp. You have some options.
Or Jamar Chase. You have options.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, some of these guys have not broken out yet. Jonathan Taylor, if he plays, he's going to have, I think, maybe, possibly, a pretty decent season. Cooper Kupp, take it to the bank. Wide receiver one, incredible season. I mean, once he comes back, he's going to have a great season. Kamara, once he fully gets up to speed, I think...
Let's go back to Cooper Kupp real quick, because I think it's important, because Puka Nacua is there. Cooper Kupp comes back.
I just had this conversation today. Here's the reality. Puka Nacua is going nowhere.
Right.
Okay. If you look at the numbers of Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell together, this offense can support a wide receiver one and a wide receiver two. I think Puka will certainly not drop below a wide receiver two numbers. And when I say wide receiver two numbers, I mean typical wide receiver two producing numbers, like your number fantasy points ranging 10 points, 12 points. Those are some wide receiver two numbers. Once you start getting into the 14, 15, 16 range, those are your wide receiver one fantasy point ranges. Puka will never dip below wide receiver two.
Now, see, I have a hard time believing that, and hear me out. So when Cooper comes back, Puka Nacua has the ability to be an outside receiver. So, I mean, he's versatile. He's moved around a little
bit. He's played everywhere.
I know. He's moved around right now. But moving him to the outside fully puts him in a harder matchup with real cornerbacks and safety help.
When you say real cornerbacks, what do you mean?
There are few slot corners that are solid. There are many more cornerbacks that guard the outside that have, with air quotes, a higher level of skill than those slot cornerbacks. So, and then also the outside cornerbacks usually have the help of the safeties. Usually they'll cover, they'll shadow over. And so Cooper Kupp is going to have those slot corners, because he's not usually going to be on the outside. They're going to use Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua on the outsides. And I think Puka's going to face harder coverages. Granted, his route running is still solid. He's still going to get open. He's going to get separation, but he's not going to be that first read
for Matt Stafford.
May not be, but he's also going to be a read.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, Puka will win contested catches. If he's on the outside, I mean, Tutu Atwell can very well play on the outside. You also have a Van Jefferson that that could potentially
He's done nothing this year. No one cares about him.
Well, it's because you have these two-star right. wide receivers. But with specifically Puka, this is a guy they can line up anywhere on the offense. He's already proven that. He can produce in any wide receiver position. Imagine a similar feel from the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you don't know where Tyreek's lining up at. You don't know where the running backs are lining up at. I think you could potentially see something similar coming out of LA once Cooper Kupp comes back. I mean, this is a dynamic Maybe. Offense.
Yeah.
And if I'm them, right, because of course, come on now, right, who wouldn't want some of the DTF fantasy podcast hosts coaching an NFL team.
Yeah.
But if I'm Sean McVay, I'm thinking, why wouldn't I use this to my advantage? Why wouldn't I use...
That's a great point, because Sean McVay is very forward-thinking. He puts together some weird stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So why not play with two slots? Why not draw up some weird stuff that's going to get both Puka and Cooper some really good looks?
I think, I guess, long story short, I think Puka, he's going nowhere. He's here to stay. He's going to be consistently producing at bare minimum wide receiver two numbers, and he will produce wide receiver one numbers more times than not, I believe. I think
I would disagree with that.
Right now,
he's wide receiver five. I don't think that lasts. I think from week six on, Puka is probably a wide receiver 20.
Well, consistently producing wide receiver two numbers while hitting wide receiver one numbers is absolutely, I think, going to happen for Puka.
I think it's going to be harder for him to hit wide receiver one numbers.
I don't. I really don't. And it's we've already seen the talent.
That's exactly. why we have a discussion.
Exactly.
We need to produce both sides.
Because you fill in the gaps, right? And this is the time to hedge your bet against one or the other. Listen, if you think Cooper Kupp will completely vacuum all targets in this offense, throw the house at him. Because if that's the case, he's going to finish up as from when he starts playing, whether it's week five, six, seven. From that week forward, he will probably end up as the top three wide receiver in the league.
I don't think he's going to funnel all of them from Puka. Like you said, Puka's not going to go anywhere. Tutu's not going anywhere. And then they've got a tight end. They've got, you know, the running back out of the backfield. There's going to be a lot of mouths to feed when Cooper Kupp comes back. More mouths than there are now because Van Jefferson's not doing anything. And Tutu is really, they've missed the boat on him a little bit. Either, you know, they've missed him. He's had a couple drops, but I mean, overall,
right.
The Rams offense can get going. We've seen it. And they also can be stalled. We've seen that. But
you're right.
In my opinion, I've sold Puka Nacua this week and traded him because I fear that his value is as high as it's going to be today than it would ever be.
And that's why you make the decisions you make.
Yeah.
You believe what you believe, and some others will hedge a bet against a different outcome. Now, the Rams offense is just kind of, no one expected this from the Rams. No one did.
Yeah.
Preseason, we didn't expect Kyren Williams to be doing what he's doing. He's had one receiving touchdown this year so far. He's had six total touchdowns. Five of those are rushing touchdowns, and one of those is a reception touchdown. The last three games, he's had 24 receiving yards, 27 and 48, respectively, with three targets, seven targets, and 10 targets week two. They're targeting Kyren Williams out of the backfield. And when you're looking for a running back that is premium usage that will produce elite level fantasy numbers, the only week he did not score was week three. Other than that, He and his schedule coming up looks fantastic.
And here's the next thing. You've got to be ahead of the curve. So if you have Kyren Williams, go get Ronnie Rivers. If Kyren goes down, the backfield's Ronnie's. He's in this last game, he averaged 5.2 yards of carries off of 9 carries. Go get him. Prep early so you're not spending a quarter of your fab if Kyren Williams goes down. Ed's on his phone now, looking at trying to add some stuff.
Well, I'm not a big fan of having running back handcuffs unless it's a player that is highly touted and highly subjected to injuries. I've never been a fan of point proven case, Joshua Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
He's better as running back two than he scores more running back 2 points than he does running back 1 point.
When Austin Eckler went, because I have an Austin Eckler, he was my whatever number two overall pick. And after he went down, I wanted Joshua Kelly. I almost sold the farm for him, but I didn't. And I spent like $12 on him. I spent like $12 on Kyren Williams. Yeah. I already had Achan. And then I threw like $15 on Justice Hill. And, well, we know how that one went out. But at least I hit on a couple.
At least you didn't spend like $50 on Gus Edwards, right?
Right. We know no one that did that.
No one would do that.
No. We're just, talking out of thin air. But
hypotheticals,
right. I've never been a big fan of running back handcuffs because it clogs neither. My bench. And I'm constantly thinking to myself, well, dang it, I would love to pick that person up, but this is the only player that's not producing, but I gotta keep him.
Well, see, I've faced this year. Like I feel like my benches are so thick right now, man. My running backs, my wide receivers, everyone I have on my bench, I'm like, I don't want to drop these guys. But here comes marching in Mr. Bye Week number 5 here. And I'm like, I'm stuck. So I'm like, I have to do a 2-for-1 trade somehow, because I don't want to drop any of these players. So I'm going to at least get some value out of it, because what's the point of dropping one if you can trade two, get one, and then be able to pick up your defense or tight end or whatever else you need to pick up along the way here. So that's what started my thought process last night when I was going through all of my leagues going, oh, shoot. I don't have anyone to drop in this league, but I need two players or I need one player. So I went in through and just started, who's tanking right now? Who's bad? What do they need? What do they have that I would
want? You're talking about teams in the league.
Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, what can I provide them? How can I do a 2 or a 3-for-1 deal and come away with feeling good about myself? And that's what I started doing. I put probably like 5 trades out, 3 of them got rejected. 2 of them ended up, we worked something out to where, we ended up getting approved and now accepted. And I'm a happy camper because now I can start adding a player that I need for like next week or the week after or another bye week or this week. But you got to keep that in mind. Like, don't just drop a player to drop them. See what you can get.
And also look ahead. Don't be narrow-minded. Yeah. Right,
I'm already looking ahead for week 13 when Lamar Jackson is out.
Yeah,
and I put a trade out there for a 2-for-1 just to get a backup quarterback just for that week, along with a solid running back.
Like Mike said, start looking at the teams in your league and their needs. Start exploiting some of those opportunities. And listen, just because you're giving up people on your bench that won't help your team does not mean they won't help another team. For example, if you have 5 good running backs, well, at best, you can only start 3. And if you have potentially 2 other very valuable running backs with the landscape of what it is right now, well, trade them.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a good wide receiver, a good tight end, a quarterback, someone that could help your team. The trade is going to help another team, and it's going to help your team. You're not going to get worse, because a lot of trades are subjective. I mean, even if you think that you didn't get the better guys if you're comparing apples to apples, but it actually helps your team in a way that it was worth the trade. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to make a trade if your team's quality and overall power rankings and projected points and strength of schedule. I mean, if all of those things are going to take a dip, don't do the trade. Don't do it. But if your team is going to move ahead and increase, why wouldn't you? Well, some of the reasons why you wouldn't is to play the game keep away, right? Why do I want to trade running backs or a top wide receiver to a team that's already undefeated, to a team that's already 3-1. That's a thing, right? Yeah. I don't want to give you my best player, even if it makes me better. I'm going to go take my chances on the waiver wire, or I'm going to take my chances trading with someone else to give myself a fighting chance. That's a theory. That's a thing. That's an option that you have. But just because you're comparing one player to another player and the values are not equal doesn't mean it's a bad trade.
Yeah.
It needs to be a win-win for both sides.
So here's an example. Prime example, just the trade just went through. We worked it out. It got accepted. So I wanted Bijan Robinson, right? Everyone wants Bijan. But this guy is 0-4.
Preseason, everyone wanted Bijan.
This team is 0-4. And this guy's got like no running backs this week other than Bijan. So I'm like, you know what? There's a 2-for-1 trade. I will trade two of my one flex and my bench running back for Bijan. Just throw it out there, see what happens. And I think it was a wide receiver and a running back because his team is just demolished. He brought back to me a transaction. Bijan Robinson and A.J. Dillon, because I have Aaron Jones in that league. So I'm like, okay, I see what he's trying to go here. I don't care about A.J. Dillon. I just want Bijan. And he asked me for Brian Robinson Jr. and Jerome Ford. And I'm like, deal. Like, I will give you Jerome Ford, Bijan, and Brian Robinson for Bijan. I don't need freaking A.J. Dillon. So here, and then, so I had left Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, and I'm going to have Bijan Robinson, and I also have Joe Mixon. Like, I'm just stacking my team at this point. So it looks great. Not every trade's going to be that, in my mind, favorable.
But yeah,
it helped him out, but it helped me out, right, for sure.
It helped him out for a week. Because
probably. I don't know. Because I don't care,
if the bye weeks hurt him, he just traded away his best running back.
For sure.
For two running backs.
But he's 0-4. That one running back's not doing him any good. Yeah. Apparently.
Well, and here's, you know, Bijan, the guy's obviously an RB1. And he's an RB1 because of his pass catching abilities. I mean, he's catching 30, 40, 50 yards at a time every single game. As a pure, you know, north and south and elusive back, of course he has that ability. He's just utilized in both ways. He's averaging 13, 14, 18 points a game.
Yeah.
And I think
it's only going to get better from here.
It will.
They're trusting him more. They're working him in more. They're working in Tyler Allgeier a little less. You saw it in London.
He's a rookie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about someone that has played 4 weeks.
And then look at this is the real reason why I went after him, okay? His playoff matchups. Carolina, Indianapolis, which they're okay against that run. Depends on which defense shows up. But then Chicago.
Yeah.
You've got two of the worst 5 run defenses there right now.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful, beautiful playoff schedule for a running back.
And this is, of course, between now and the next 2/3 of the season, things could happen, but...
Do you think anything's going to change Chicago? The Bears? Or Carolina's defense? Like, you don't see them making moves for their defense. But Indianapolis, it depends on which defensive line shows up. And now with Dallas Flowers out of the cornerback there... That hurt, man. He played good.
Yeah.
He was playing real good. His loss is going to affect Indianapolis. So if you've got a wide receiver coming up playing Indianapolis, don't fear them unless they're in the slot. Kenny Moore is solid in the slot. He's one of the few slot corners that will make your slot wide receiver not as productive.
Yeah.
So
just maybe avoid this week because I just don't have any faith. I was all in on DeAndre Hopkins preseason.
I was not.
I was, and I will own that.
I love how complete polar opposite we are on so many players, dude.
Yeah, I was. I just believe in talent.
And I made fun of you and the guy we shall not name
for being
so high on Mr. Hopkins.
I was higher than his ADP. I wasn't saying he was going to be a top 10 guy. I never said that. I was higher than where he was being drafted because of his talent.
Understood. The talent is by far better than ADP.
Especially,
but the situation was not.
Especially considering he doesn't have much talent challenging that wide receiver
ring room.
Yeah, he's solid, but he's also a second-year wide receiver.
Okonkwo
that's not
and the tight ends. He's solid.
You're right.
And again, their situation is run the ball. That's what they do there in Tennessee. They run the ball.
That's
the main reason why I was like, no, I'm out.
Now,
peace.
Deuces. At some point, they're gonna have to do something with Ryan Tannehill. I mean,
bench him.
He's just not getting the job done. When Derrick Henry has the second most rushing attempts in the league, tied with Tony Pollard at 73, seven less than Christian McCaffrey, yet in terms of overall points, he's not in the top 10, there's an issue.
Will Levis is going to start week 8. Mark my words. Will Levis is starting week 8. If they lose to Indy this week, Will Levis is starting week 8.
You know, that's tough. That's tough because I believe in Will Levis only because he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder being a day 2. Quarterback draft. I mean, he was a day 2 draft pick in this most recent NFL draft. And he came out of Kentucky?
Yeah, Kentucky.
And he just seemed like such a cocky guy, man. I never, just looking at the press conferences with him, there were earlier on in the year, there were touting him to be a top 5 quarterback. I mean, he was going very high in projections earlier on, and then something happened. But I don't know. I mean, that's tough for me. And by the way, I just looked it up. I was curious on the top 10 running backs in the league so far through week 4, and Derrick Henry lands at 11. So my guess of him not being in the top 10 was just right. So he landed at 11, and Pacheco is at number 12. So who would have thought that Pacheco is on the heels of King Henry himself for overall fantasy points?
So full PPR, running back 9.
Oh, okay. So, you know, two spots different. All right, so let's go through some against the spread kind of picks. Let's start with Thursday night. By the time our loyal listeners are tuning in, you'll probably catch this after the Thursday night game, but by that time, you would have already known that the Commanders beat the Bears by more than 5.5.
It's at minus 6 now.
It's at minus 6?
Yeah, but you know what the funny thing is? I'm taking Bears plus 6. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I'm taking the Commanders minus 6. Justin Fields, and here's why. He's been sacked, and this is going to be interesting. Justin Fields, this is why your prediction could be correct now that I'm thinking about it in hindsight. I might end up switching my pick.
Can't switch.
It's on air. I'm allowed to. But Justin Fields has been sacked 17 times so far this year. Third worst behind guess who?
Oh, I'm Danny Dimes for sure.
Number one.
Daniel Jones.
And number two is Sam Howell.
Sam Howell, yeah. Okay.
So you have two lines that can't protect their quarterback playing this Thursday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess.
It is. It's a train wreck.
I think I have had a lot of confidence in this Washington offense.
I've had confidence in the Washington defense.
But to know that Sam Howell is the second most sacked quarterback. Yeah. Now, what do you get when you have crap playing with crap? Maybe you we're get surprised.
Bears and Commanders. And although I called it last week on upset alert, the Eagles, those Commanders almost pulled it out.
Yeah,
man, did. Just saying.
So next up, the London game.
Jags and Bills.
Jags and Bills.
Bills minus 5.5.
I'm going to take the Bills minus 5.5.
Yeah, me too.
Just a quick fun stat. Trevor Lawrence, he actually ranks as having the fastest time out of all quarterbacks from the time the ball snapped to the time he releases that football and throws it at 2 seconds over 143 attempts. This is why you're seeing a completely different scheme from Jacksonville than you expected to see. This is why you're not getting those bombs down to Ridley.
And here's what's going to also come into play. Tre'Davious White out for the year for the Bills.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge hit. Calvin Ridley might want to chalk him up to DFS this week. I can see him being heavily utilized. Him and Evan Ingram as well.
Great point.
So,
okay. What's next, Mike?
Giants at Dolphins. Dolphins minus 11. I don't see the Giants keeping up with the Dolphins.
Nah,
I don't.
I got to take the Dolphins minus. You have 11?
11, yeah. That's a tough
number.
I had
10.5, but I'll take the Dolphins minus 11.
I'm just going off of DraftKings.
Okay.
So, and I just pulled it as like, okay. right before we started. So, you're going to take the Dolphins?
I'm taking the Dolphins.
Yeah, me too.
When you look at the Dolphins, here it's just such a fun team to watch. This is an insanely fast team.
Crazy, man.
The players on the team are fast. Mostert is calling out Tyreek Hill and saying he can beat him in a foot race. What? Did you see that?
No.
Mostert called out Tyreek Hill and said he can beat him in a foot race. Dude, Mostert is on paper.
Pretty fast, dude.
I think he's the fastest running back in the league right now, next to perhaps Achan. So, I mean, just fun fact. Now, another fun fact to throw out for you on the Dolphins specifically, Achan has 4.2 yards after contact per rushing attempt, which ranks second in the entire league out of all running backs, next to Chris Brooks.
Who?
Yeah. Chris Brooks? How do you not know who Chris Brooks is?
I don't have any idea who Chris Brooks is, dude.
Well, probably because he's like the fifth string running back for the Dolphins. And he played during that 70-20 blowout for the Broncos.
Okay.
And he had, I forget how many, but
that's ridiculous.
Achan ranks second with 4.2 yards after contact. So the guy's obviously able to make
his
plays.
His first two carries last week for a total of 3 yards and 2 touchdowns, dude.
Yeah.
And then he just goes off and he ends up finishing with over 100 yards. Like,
the Dolphins have put up 150 points so far this season through four games. 150 points. That's 37.5 on average.
I'm telling you, they're going to get at least probably, you might get a 40 bomb over here.
Very possibly. Here's
the bet to do. Go and make the bet over Dolphins points. I'm going to have to go look that up because I'm gonna make that bet now.
The Giants offensive line is struggling. And so the question is what are you going to do with Saquon, right? Here's what's dangerous is if you are a Saquon owner, you have some decisions to make because if Saquon comes back and he's healthy on paper, he's fully healthy, but he does not look good, your Saquon stock has now plummeted. But if he comes back fully healthy and he looks great, hey, your bet has won. But now is the time to make your decision on Saquon because he's saying he has a high ankle sprain. The organization is possibly saying he has something different. I tend to agree with what the person is saying. They typically say 3 weeks for a high ankle sprain. Okay, so we're reaching that 3-week mark. Saquon may not play for another week or so. You have about 1 week to make your decision on what you're going to do with Saquon. You're either going to hold him or you're going to trade him. Mike, what are you doing with Saquon?
If I had a gun to my head today, depending on what you can get out
of
him, obviously.
No, I would never put a gun to your head, and no one would ever put a gun to your head.
But no, there's some stupid people out there today.
There are some stupid people
out there. Cancel me if you want, but there's some dumb people in this world today. So if I had to answer, I would probably, depending on what you get out of him, obviously. It all depends on that. But if I had the choice, if I didn't have to keep Saquon, I would trade him. I really would.
Would you trade Saquon for a Kyren Williams?
I do. Yeah, I think so. His usage is just as high as Saquon. And honestly, I think the line is much better than the Giants. Mm-hmm. And I think the Rams' defense is better than the Giants.
What about David Montgomery?
David Montgomery?
For Saquon.
Ooh, that's a tough one, dude. I don't know if he can keep this up, but I mean, Jamal Williams did last year.
Dude,
so,
David Montgomery,
that one
is the clear bell cow for this team. Now, we'll get to the Lions here shortly, but we got to talk about what we're doing with Jahmyr Gibbs here in a minute. But anyway, Saquon, you're saying it's dependent. I'm saying get out while you can. I'm just, you know, I could be but wrong.
What are you going to sell him for? If you're saying get out while you can, that means you're going to sell for, like, you know, 75 cents on the dollar here.
Yeah, and that's true. It's tough because I think you'd want to package him in a deal. Like, you're not going to want to go one for one. You're going to want to package Saquon and someone for...
Package Saquon and a safe RB2 or a...
Depending on your needs.
Wide receiver 3.
Right? Exactly. Package a decent wide receiver.
That has good upside. And then go get someone that makes
floor.
You better.
A safe floor. Yeah. Good upside. Wide receiver 2, maybe 3. And then go out and get yourself an elite player. So that's what I would probably do. I just have a hard time believing in the Giants offense. But who's up next, Mike?
Ravens at your Steelers. Nope, sorry, I lied. Panthers at Lions. Minus 10 for Lions. What are your thoughts,
Dad? So I'm glad you brought this game up because I'm going to take the Lions minus, what is it, 10?
Minus 10 against the Panthers.
Oh, I'm going to take the Lions minus 10. And unfortunately, it's because of Bryce Young. Like, the red rifle should have stayed in. I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with
week
you.
Week 3. Take a guess where Andy Dalton finished as the overall QB what? The week he started.
Eight.
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
Seven. Pretty close. Seven, dude. 23.5 fantasy points. He came out with 361 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions that week. They didn't win, but they put up some points, and they gave themselves a chance. Some rookies in the NFL coming out of college, particularly the quarterback situation position, some rookies get it, some rookies not. C.J. Stroud gets it. Bryce Young doesn't.
But hold on. Let's pump the brakes on C.J. Stroud. Everyone's, you know, touting him pretty bad. So
no one needs to tout what's a fact.
Go,
look at the numbers.
Look at his... For a real NFL quarterback, yes, he's doing the job well. But for fantasy, he's got, 1,200 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Five
touchdowns, something like that. He's averaging like 1 touchdown every 200 passing yards.
So
that's not great.
Let me read you some of his fantasy numbers. So last week, week 4, 21.8 fantasy points. Week 3, 20 fantasy points. Week 2, 21 fantasy points. He is producing week over week. He's had 2 passing touchdowns each of the last 3 games. The guy's a stud. I know my Pittsburgh team isn't what a lot of people, okay, honestly, it is probably what a lot of people thought they were going to be. I didn't think they were going to be this bad.
I was on your side, dude. I remember we had this discussion many times.
We have a good defense.
Your defense
He split our defense, split us in half.
And I did call this game too, Ed.
Well, It's and we won't get there just yet, but it's because of our outside gaps. I've been saying this. It's our weakness. You're going to have a hard time running it north and south. You're going to have a much easier time kicking it to a screen, kicking it to the outside, and getting around our hefty linebackers. Once you get around the Alex Highsmiths and the TJ Watts, and you have open space with the, you know, Patrick Peterson or Cam Sutton or, you know, Joey Porter, you're going to have an opportunity to make a play, especially a running back versus a cornerback. So anyway, I'm going to take the Lions. David Montgomery ranks fourth out of all active running backs with 69 total carries. Mm-hmm. He's also third among running backs for total touches inside the 5-yard line. He has six rushing attempts.
Is that it?
Inside the 5-yard line.
I would have thought way more than that.
With 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's carried the ball 6 times inside the 5, 4 touchdowns. You want fantasy running backs that get the ball inside the 5-yard line.
They need to have the ability, they need to have the talent, correct, and they need to have the wherewithal to get it into the end zone.
The more rushing attempts as a running back you have inside the 5 without converting to a touchdown, the less confidence the team has, the less they use you. But the more you score, the more that pattern is going to repeat. So I promise you, the next time the Lions are within the 5-yard line, they're going to give it to David Montgomery, and he's going to run it in for a touchdown.
I had this conversation almost with another league mate, okay? And he was offering me Amon-Ra. I love me some Amon-Ra. Everyone knows that. But I told him, you know what? The biggest obstacle that Amon-Ra has is his touchdowns, because if they're within the 7-yard line, they're running the ball. If they are,
yeah,
his opening is outside the 7-yard line and inside the 25-yard line.
Right.
Outside the 25-yard, he's not sent on these long routes.
No.
He's mid routes. So you're going to get those Amon-Ra. It's tough right now. I'm struggling because I love Amon-Ra and I want Amon-Ra. But let me ask you a question. Would you trade Amon-Ra? Or let me ask you another. Would you trade Jonathan Taylor to get Amon-Ra?
No.
No.
No. Because so you can
keep Jonathan Taylor.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because I can.
That's where I'm at right now.
I can go get an Amon-Ra type of production.
Really?
Yeah.
From who?
I don't know.
You go get it?
I can go get it.
Go get it.
I can't just go get a running back.
As easy as you can with a wide receiver. What do you mean? You go get the Amon-Ra production.
Well, let me read you his fantasy numbers. Week 1, 16 fantasy points. Week 2, 11. Week 3, 15. Week 4, 14. He's a great wide receiver.
Yeah.
I have wide receivers that are putting up more fantasy points than that on a weekly basis.
Mike Evans.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk. I mean, you can. Tank Dell did it for a week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give
Nico
up.
Nico Collins.
Right, even. Nico Collins. Like, I'm not going to give up potentially a tremendous stellar running back. I think for me, I'm hedging my bet on what could be.
Exactly. You know, that's what the question is right now.
Like, especially because of how difficult the running back situation is right now, like, I'm not willing to give up a JT. Like, if someone wants JT.
What if you're in a good presence with a good standings, you know, your first, second in your division.
Yeah, hypothetically, let's just say.
Let's say that you've got plenty of other running backs, and Jonathan Taylor, you haven't needed him right now. You're 3-1. What I mean at that point, you're like, okay, well, I need to bolster my wide receivers. That's when it comes into play.
Well, that's what I'm doing in one of my leagues. I have five RB1s. I don't need five RB1s.
Let's not say you have five RB1s. That's a bit far fetched.
Well,
Ed.
That's
a bit far. You're telling me Bryce Kyren Hall is a RB1.
First of all, Achan, Kyren Williams, and Austin Eckler, that's 3.
Brees Hall. Austin Eckler right now. Because I want to know what you're basing this off of.
He hasn't played in 3 weeks. Austin Eckler is an RB1.
Is he an RB1 for the year or an RB1 moving forward?
Well, whenever he decides to play.
Okay.
He was an RB1 when he played.
RB1 moving forward then, right?
Okay, so are you saying, I'm not saying he's the RB1 for the season.
No, but you're saying he's a top 10, top 12 guy.
Well, he's going to absolutely produce RB1 numbers. He will be a top 12
guy moving forward. I agree. But you're saying that all these other players are going to be top 12 as well.
So Achan and Kyren Williams alone are in the top 5 so far.
Correct.
Austin Eckler will be in the top 5. Breece Hall is now uncapped. He will
with
be.
Air quotes, uncapped. He's I'm capping him in my head. I'm not.
You've obviously not have never ha- seen him
not,
play football.
I'm just not a Breece Hall fan. Never.
And
I
some
have
people
not been behind him this year.
Well,
I haven't. not Christian Watson. What's the other guy? I'm not a Garrett Wilson fan. The Jets, I've stayed away from this entire year.
There is zero chance that Breece Hall does not, especially because of his schedule. Guess who
he's playing
he
the Broncos this week.
Yeah.
If he does not produce, you're screwed if you have Breece Hall.
He has the Eagles.
His value will plummet.
He has the Eagles, and then he has a bye. Then he comes back and plays the Giants, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Bills, the Dolphins. I mean,
he's not going to run on the Bills. He's not.
Well, they don't have the defense they used to have.
No, but now they lost Tre'Davious White.
Breece Hall.
They're going to pass on him.
Breece Hall is an RB1 right now in today's fantasy football landscape.
No.
In today's fantasy football's landscape, teams are willing to have him as their RB1.
Yeah, teams can do that. But on the Jets, he is not a fantasy football RB1.
He will be their RB1.
He will be their RB1. And but he is not a fantasy football RB1. I will place
by the
a
way,
nice we, bet on this one.
So who's next?
You're taking the Lions minus 10.
I am taking the Lions.
All right. So then we've got Ravens at Steelers, Steelers plus 4.
I'm taking the Steelers plus 4. That's an easy one for me. It's going to be a 3-point game, and by de facto, Steelers will win.
I'm taking Ravens. And before that, I'm actually taking Panthers plus 10. I like the Lions, but I think the Panthers are going to come out. I think they can keep it within 10. Mm. Anyway, Titans at Colts. Colts plus 1.5.
The Colts plus 1.5.
At home. Yeah, Titans favored by 1.5.
I will take the Colts.
So we've got the Titans at the Colts. Colts plus 1.5. And I'm hearing this one is kind of shop around until you get what you want for your better bets because it's different on BetMGM. It's different on BetMGM and whatnot. So we're going off DraftKings, Colts plus 1.5. What are you thinking?
I'm
going
to take the Colts.
Colts plus 1.5. Well, yeah. Colts plus 1.5.
Yep.
I am as well. Texans at Falcons, Falcons minus 2. What say you, Edmund?
I'm going to take the Texans plus 1.5.
This one's a tough one for me, Ed, just because I know the Texans just came off of a huge victory, and I know they have the ability to, but I think the Falcons have a odd offense and an odd defense that actually goes up against the Texans fairly well. I'm actually taking the Falcons minus 2 here.
Okay.
So then next we've got the Saints at Patriots, Patriots minus 1. Up to me, I'm going to go with Saints plus 1. I think the Saints figured out this week, and I think the Patriots, no one's afraid of their passing game right now, and no one's afraid of their running game. The Patriots do have a good defense, but I think that the Saints can figure that out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots here. I don't have any faith in this offense, but the only reason I'm going with the Patriots, it's because of Bill Belichick. I mean,
but look what Mike McDaniel said last week. I think it was, he was asked, is it hard to go against Bill Belichick? And what did he say? He said, I build Legos, and I found a wife who likes me and married me. Bill Belichick, beating Bill Belichick's easy.
Yeah, well, I guess that's easy to say when you have a track star of a team, but right. Yes. And, you know, the other thing with Stevenson, like, the guy is nothing.
What are you doing with him, dude?
You can't get anything from
no.
him. No. I'm not in on him.
This is so
He's
bad.
Averaging 2.7 yards a carry. He has 164 yards on 60 attempts. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't get rid of him. The Patriots, they just came off an embarrassing loss to the Cowboys after studying the Cowboys all night with Zeke. They just got completely demolished. No faith in the Patriots except for Bill Belichick. I'm going to take the Patriots at home on this.
All right. I respect that. Eagles at Rams. Eagles favored 4.5.
So I'm going to go with the Rams on this. I think the Eagles get their first loss this game.
Really?
I do.
I am going with the Eagles, minus 4.5. I think the Eagles
are starting
to find their stride, and I don't think the Rams defense can come close to stop. I almost see this as a 10-point win. I don't see this close at all. It might be 8, but no, I don't see this anywhere. I think it's at least a touchdown. Bengals at Cardinals. Bengals are actually favored by 3.5 after their terrible showing the past 4 weeks. What say you, Ed?
Well, 3.5 at the Cardinals. I'm taking Josh Jobs and the Cardinals.
I think I'm going there as well, just because we haven't seen anything. You know what? Yeah, I'm going Cardinals. Yeah, Cardinals 3.5 plus.
Remember, Josh Jobs knows this Bengals team. Just throwing that out there. I said it before.
Well, it's been a while since. How long has it been since?
Hasn't been that long. Just a couple years.
Steelers.
It's only been a couple years. And Josh Dobbs, I said it before he started. He is an extremely intelligent quarterback. He makes wise decisions, and everyone in that offense will now get a boost. Keep an eye on Michael Wilson. He's a rookie wide receiver for the Cardinals.
Did I point him out preseason too? Michael Wilson, because he's a tall wide receiver that they're going to need. I'm pretty sure I did. I've had a lot of good call outs.
But he's had seven receptions for 76 yards last game and two touchdowns. Finished as a wide receiver 7 against the 49ers defense. Kyler Murray's still considered weeks away from playing.
He's not coming back anytime soon.
You know, Josh Dobbs is someone to keep an eye on. Listen, from weeks 2 through 4, he is the QB6 from weeks 2 through 4 because he didn't start week 1. So from those weeks, he's been the QB6. If you have a Burrow, if you've not had luck at your quarterback positions, this is someone that you should be taking a close look at because he's also had a rushing touchdown and he's only rostered in 4% of leagues. But yes, I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Chiefs at Vikings, Ed. Chiefs favored by 4.5. I'm taking Chiefs minus 4.5.
I'm going to take the Vikings plus 4.5.
I accidentally penciled you in for Chiefs. I was hoping you were going to say Chiefs. So I didn't have to change this, but now I got to scribble it out. So you're taking the Vikes. All right. We are so different this week, man. Someone's going to come out feeling good. And the other one's going to come out feeling like they kicked their puppy. So then we got the Jets at the Broncos. Broncos minus 1.5.
The tale of two great teams. I'm taking the Jets.
Gosh, this one's terrible, man.
The Jets are going to demolish the Broncos. Breece Hall is going to prove Mike wrong. The Jets, fly, baby, fly.
He should come out and produce. He should have top 12 numbers.
He's not going to score any points. He's terrible.
No, I said he's not going to be a top 12 running back moving forward. He's just not.
I said he's going to be an RB1.
That's an RB1.
I'm taking the Jets.
You're taking the Jets. And I think, this is a tough matchup, man, because they both suck. I'm going to go with the home team here and just say that this is a game that they end up pulling out. I think this is a Broncos win.
Well, We'll see. I do know that Courtland Sutton is tied for third out of all wide receivers for red zone targets inside the 20. He has 7 targets, 5 receptions, and 3 touchdowns. This is a consistent wide receiver, too, that's producing, but he's in a bad offense. So, but you know who else has had 7 receptions or 7 targets and 6 receptions and 3 touchdowns inside the 20? Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Just saying. Anyway, carry on, Mike.
Cowboys at Niners. Niners favored by 3.5. This is going to be a playoff implication matchup. Last time that these two faced off was in the playoffs, and the Niners ousted them. What say you, Ed?
49ers.
49ers by 3.5, huh?
Yep.
I am also taking the Niners by -3.5. Last matchup on the docket. Packers at Raiders. Raiders +1. Packers are favored by 1.
Packers are favored by 1.
At the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Raiders.
And I want to agree with you. But I think the Packers got embarrassed. And the Raiders are hoping that Garoppolo comes back. Whereas the Packers know who they have. And I'm going to go with consistency of quarterback, and that's going to be the Packers. So Packers -1 for me, and Raiders +1 for you. Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot.
There we go.
So who, real quick, Ed, unconventional starts this week. Anyone you're seeing because of the matchup, because of the bye weeks that you're kind of looking at that, you know, I want to start this guy.
Well, you know, I think this week, don't look too much into, just be careful when you're looking at matchups, because some of these numbers could be skewed, like, for example, Denver. I mean, when you look at Denver on the map, they're literally dead last in everything in terms of their defense, like, you know, passing game, running game. So just, you know, be mindful of that. I don't know. I mean, and for me personally, I'm thinking about starting a Breece Hall over an Isaiah Pacheco in my flex. His first game that, no, it's not unconventional because he's going against the Denver defense. Mm-hmm. But, well, I'll give you one. I'm starting CJ Stroud over Joe Burrow. But
given the first 4 weeks, I don't blame you at all. So yeah, okay.
I don't know. I haven't really thought of that question too much.
So one thing to think of for next week and beyond, going forward, Quentin Johnston. We all know that Mike Williams is out. We all know that Mr. Palmer over there is kind of the next man up, but they drafted Quentin Johnston to be their deep threat. Mike Williams is out. They've been easing Quentin Johnston in. Josh Palmer is not a deep threat. Keenan Allen is surely not a deep threat. Enter Quentin Johnston. If for some reason he's on waivers, go pick him up and prepare to play him in the next few weeks, because yeah, he is going to start being that deep threat soon. The Chargers need him to be that deep threat. So that's my little thought there.
They need a consistent deep threat. Otherwise, their offense is going to make a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
And they've already changed because, well, they're not utilizing the run game and they're not utilizing the running back to throw to. So if you've seen what has happened to the Chargers offense since missing Eckler, it's already evolved.
And I was completely wrong on Kyle Pitts last week. We can all drop him.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Me too. I put him in my DFS lineup. I thought it was a shoe-in, and no. I bet on him, and no. He let me down. Armpit it is. So, just if you're keeping up with my +100 bets, I am fresh out. The teams that I bet on did not want to produce, and here we are. So I get to start over this week at +100 bets, and I will post online, so follow us and we'll go there.
Okay. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Good luck this week. If you have any questions, hit us up on the X or on the Facebook and send us your start sit decisions. Otherwise, good luck. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Dad's Talk Fantasy Podcast.